The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. Off we go into another week. This is a great week because it's the start of college football for Arizona State meeting NAU. Jacks will come down off the hill. And U of A against Hawaii. Rainbows have already had a game, or the Warriors have already had a game, however you want to go about it. We'll get into that shortly. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that's Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Actually going to see Jeff Meachie later today for lunch. I was happy for Tommy Fleetwood. The story of the weekend in sports was Tommy Fleetwood. Not because I'm bad at golf, because I am, but because I love to see the stuff in sports that should be celebrated even more than what we do. If you're coming here to see about the roster cuts for the Cardinals, we're the wrong show. I don't care. I know who's going to play and all that stuff. So I don't want to waste your time or my time. If you've been here long enough, you know that I just don't care about the NFL until we get into week one and you're not being jobbed out of money to go watch games that don't matter. So there you go on that front. Tommy Fleetwood won the Tour Championship yesterday. I watched it all the way down the stretch. Crowds were great. Tommy Fleetwood, if you went to work every day and every day you had to hit a number to win the day, and you could never quite get over the top. And in Tommy Fleetwood's case, that's what's happened. 164 starts. He'd never won on the PGA Tour. He's come very close. He's won some tournaments around the world. But yesterday, the 165th time that he teed it up, he finally won. 34 years of age. That's a lot of miles. That's a lot of, you got to be kidding me. How much longer do I have to go? The fact that he won $10 million yesterday, yeah, that's a reward to some, but I think in hearing him, he's very approachable and relatable, and I think that's why the fans have dug into him. And for him to go out and do what he did was just great. It's great. It was great drama. It was great theater. Thought that was a sports story of the weekend. Scottie Scheffler finished fourth in that, but that was a story. The college football over the weekend, it's expected to be ugly. The guys that sit and troll on social about how the NFL is greater than college don't get college. Yeah, the Iowa State, Kansas State was ugly. I made my way over to Paramount Plus to find Stanford and Hawaii because it wasn't shown here locally because the Cardinal game was on. And I just didn't want to watch it. So I watched Stanford and Hawaii, and the way that it ends in college football, you have a kicker at Hawaii. Who the U of A is playing this week? And neither team was very good, just watching the game, but it's still the fun side of it. The kicker is from Japan. He was working at a Morton Steakhouse when he was 20. He came on a vacation to the United States. He watched an NFL game, thought it was pretty cool, went back, watched some YouTube videos and decided I'm going to be a kicker. He kicked the game-winning field goal yesterday for Hawaii. How great is that? That's what we love. We love about sports. Friday, I was at the Arizona State football kickoff luncheon. Tim Hovick, nice enough to invite me to go. And I sat with some people from Desert Financial as well, which was great. And the event is, it's the usual. Look, if you're a U of A basketball fan, right? It may not be the best example, but if you're a U of A basketball fan, you're expecting some big things every year. Like only U of A could on Thursday, I think it was Thursday last week, send an email that football tickets are half price. And then a couple minutes later, Shaq is coming in for their blue, white or red, white scrimmage, like, for basketball. My gosh, you guys really don't care about football the way you do about basketball. But that's that. But at the kickoff luncheon, Sam Levitt sat at our table. Very nice, humble, quiet. They put on stage six players. Six players that are not the biggest players to the fan base. The biggest player, Jordan Tyson, wasn't on stage. Sam Levitt wasn't on stage. You know, they usually put the star players up there. And I like the fact that it was Ben Coleman on stage, an offensive lineman. They're going to move over to center. One of the players, I'm not going to say who, just even though he said it. So Tim Healy is doing the MC and the longtime voice of ASU, and he asked the players what is like a game day superstition. And one of the players, who was very funny, said, I was hoping you wouldn't ask me, either at the hotel or when I get to the stadium, I have to take a number two. The place went crazy laughing because high school or it's college kids, you know? It was just fun. And Kenny gets up there, and I saw Kenny Dillingham at the first one of these, and he's wearing a maroon jacket, you know, all buttoned up, all excited, got the sparky tie going a few years ago. He is sweating. He was just so nervous. And his wife Bree was with him. And I'm like, you're gonna be fine. Friday he shows up and he's wearing an ASU hoodie with shorts and some tennis shoes and gets up there and does his thing, which I think there's still way too much ask on the head coach to go out and raise funds. The fact that Kenny Dillingham had to stand there and say, if we had 200 of you that just donated $1,000 a piece, we'd be in a better space. Like, I guess maybe when I read that Texas or Houston, no, I'm sorry, LSU has $21 million tied up in their football program. And that at Kansas, the biggest cigar boosters just said he's going to give $3 billion with a B to the athletic department. Like, Graham Rossini's trying the best that he can do. U of A, they're trying to figure things out on a basketball or a football end. So it's a challenge, I know, but I'm excited for the start of the season that'll be this week. You see what else? The Diamondbacks, it's just, and Jody's going to be with us on today's show, Jody Jackson, brought to you by Shamrock Farms. The Diamondbacks, it's like the days that they win, the other teams win. The days that they lose, the other teams win. The days that, you know, they take two from Cincinnati, a team in front of them. And then yesterday, the bullpen once again. And yeah, the offense didn't come through. Now they go to Milwaukee. This is probably the week where they're going to sink or swim because they have four against Milwaukee, best record in baseball. And they have three at the Dodgers this weekend. And they're down to like 31 games left in the year. So this is probably the make or break because if you're 5.5 back with, you know, out of the wild card, and you've got to leap over all these teams, and you just get blown out this week, and you're 7 or 8 back, then yeah, it's probably time to turn attention to football season. Jody Jackson is going to be with us next. So, Jody, I've asked her to be involved in our high school broadcasts. I'm going to do a high school broadcast for the first time ever. I'm not going to do any of the play-by-play. But Jody is going to do the first few games of play-by-play. I want to talk to Jody about that, about the college end of things, about the Diamondbacks. The fact that she is a mom of a former high school quarterback gives her a different lens. So we're going to go in deep with Jody Jackson and then on the broadcast. And then we'll have John Wilner with us. John wrote a column today on Arizona State football that I'm going to put up on the website shortly. Chris Peterson, the former head coach at Boise State, who's had great success there, kind of throwing some caution into the wind about ASU. We'll get into that on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Jody Jackson. And as always, Jody has the gems all around baseball, football, pulse on the market. It's brought to you by Shamrock Farms. We appreciate Shamrock Farms and Rockin' Protein for their support. We have to start with broadcast news. Jody Jackson is the face and voice this week of Brophy Prep against Basha in the high school game of the week over on CW7. So, what are you doing here?
Well, we have a great executive producer on that package of shows, games, right? So, well, I appreciate that, Brad. I mean, I would say not the face, definitely going to be the play-by-play voice, but your team that you've assembled is incredible, and the way that they've covered high school football for years now, I'm excited to be able to jump into that. So thank you for that.
How much play-by-play have you done?
Not a whole lot. Well, you were, I mean, really, you've given me a lot of opportunities, and then you've linked me to people who have given me some opportunities. So I go back way, way back. I think it was 2018. You remember this? You probably do. Mm-hmm. You were working with Chandler and streaming some of their district's games. And I rolled up in Chandler High School, went up to the press box with my cardboard, you know, my poster board, and gave that a shot. I think technically speaking, I think the first quarter was a little, I remember texting my family, like, can you hear me? What's going on? You know, cause at that time, I mean, again, it was very, very raw. It was just me. No color analyst, which is great for first time, right? You just want to kind of dive in and see how you're doing. So, yeah, I remember that, but yeah, beyond that, just a little bit last year with Red Mountain, I'm trying to think of what, you know, I mean, really, that's the stuff that I look back on when I'm looking at it. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the opportunity. A great matchup. Like you said, Brophy Basha, it's one of the bigger games in the country. I was watching some college college football on ESPN. And of course, I watched the Dublin game. That was a really pretty good game after a slow first half with the weather and all that. And they had some high school football coming on ESPN. And I'm looking at Mater Dei and a school that I went to for 1 year, St. Thomas Aquinas. And these are great matchups, but Brophy, Basha, you know, this is a terrific matchup. One of the best in Arizona, but I think something that also is going to have a lot of national eyes as well. So
The idea of high school football play-by-play, you're a former high school mom of a quarterback. So your lens is one that I've always looked at, and you are very humble in what you do, and you go about your business the right way. I've always admired that about you. This is a mutual admiration society, by the way. It's just a fact. Does it help that you're a former high school mom, quarterback mom, of what the kids go through, and that high school used to be viewed as, that's way beneath me. I'm a pro. I could never do high school. And then you get in the space. It's like, well, why not? It's no different than the NFL, except the press box. You have a nice parking spot. It's enclosed. Yes, there's 60, 70,000 people. Why not different than college? Do you find high school the same, Jody? Or is it like, yeah, it's just fun?
I find it all the same. It's all worthy of being your absolute best. And I say that because, so there's a lot to unpack in what you said. I mean, first of all, anytime we're broadcasting, I think about, and I've had the joy of, you know, traveling with these teams and, you know, going back to whether it's football or the last, you know, 15 years with baseball, and you meet the family members, the friends, you know, your obligation is to tell the stories of these players, whether they're, you know, 12U baseball, little league, whatever it is, or at the pro level. And you want to get it right. You want to get their stories right, you know, like their names right. You know, you want to have everything right if you're a professional. So I think that's at any level, just like I tell my students at Arizona State. And I know, like you tell, you're a mentor to so many. You're not only an employer to so many, but a mentor to a lot of people that hit you up for advice. And I know you say the same thing. I mean, you want to have your ducks in a row. You want to have your plan. You want to prep. And you want to give all of these kids or adults, whoever they are, mm-hmm. their due. They've come this far in their journey. And same with high school kids. And I think the funny thing about being the high school mom is that it's given me great perspective. Even with my pro athletes, you know, because they're humans, they're working. I mean, and because a lot of our mentality is, especially in the pro product, is, well, they're getting paid all this money, they should do whatever. They're human. It's they all work, like, you know, at their craft the way we work at our craft, and it's really hard to hit a baseball or you know whatever it is. And yes, they're pros, and yes, they make money, so they should be way better at it than anyone else. That's true, but it's given me just that perspective. And yeah, and I kind of know, as you know, the high school scene is really layered and unique, and there's a lot of people that follow it. So I'm not going to pretend that I'm as dialed in as, let's say, Cody Cameron, which he's very dialed in. Jordan Hamm, Jordan Spurgeon, Claudia Collins. I can go on and on with your group, Eliav. I mean, everybody. So I'm not quite as dialed in on some of the things in the entire landscape. landscape, but of course I'm going to be dialed in on those teams that week, whoever we're covering. And I do think that it helps me get that perspective of just, you know, what it takes, what it means, how you encourage the kids, how the coaches, I think the coaches are a huge part of that too. And I've been around that, you know, with my husband coaching ball through the years, mostly at the younger levels, but it's just really cool to see. I think it's a great, I go back to the old, you remember Brad, we did back on Fox Sports Arizona quite, that was really cool. Like we did a package, I want to say it was 09 to 2011 or so. I guess it felt longer than it was. It might've only been 3 years. And it was so gratifying. I mean, Jason Jewell and I actually were, he was kind of my analyst at halftime. Of course, he's been the head coach at Brophy now for a few years. And it was something I enjoyed just as much as anything I've done. And so I'm so excited that you're bringing that back. And grateful. I think everyone in the community is grateful for it. So we certainly appreciate all the work that you've put in.
No, that's nice of you to say. I think it's just you find people that are really good at what they do. And in your space, you are just absolutely ready for this. Do you have butterflies or do you have like, I'm going to be talking about Fitz's kid. I must be...
All of it. Yeah, I'm definitely, you know, I'm going to be a little nervous for sure, because you always want to be, I still am a little nervous for a lot of things that I do. I think that's totally normal.
You should be. If you're not, Jody, it's awesome you say that, because I've sat and when I've taught, it's like, look, if you don't have butterflies in your stomach, get out. If this is exciting for you, it's just like, oh, we're at another game. I don't know. Go look at the guy roofing houses today when it's 116 degrees. And tell me that you're working, you know, like it's just not that hard. And the fact that you're so open about, yeah, you're excited, you're nervous.
It's cool. Normal to be nervous. And I think that's going to be that's going to be a great feeling. I love that. Like when we're set to kick it off and ready to go. And then, you know, like anything, you get into the groove of doing the job and then all of that kind of fades away, at least for most people. But I'm so excited for it. And for me, you know, look, it's, And I think the big reason why, you know, even I'm in that role is like, okay, it's not going to be perfect. Nothing is, you know, even the best of the best. I was watching some of the best over the weekend and, you know, it's still like you're calling live game action. You're reacting, you're, you know, and that's what's the beauty of it. And you see that in the biggest games, the biggest stages in the world. You know, just little things, obviously, you know, hopefully the big things all go really well and really smooth, but you know, you're calling live game action. So you're calling it as you see it. Cody's unbelievable. He and I went out, I think, we went out to the four-way scrimmage out at Corona, with some great teams. It was Red Mountain. It was Centennial, Corona, and gosh, I'm blanking on the fourth team, but it was Highland. Yeah. And so really good quality. And Cody, it was like really totally breaking down every formation scheme play. I mean, and he was just awesome. I think so. The fans, if you haven't heard Cody, and I know he called the state, you know, championships last year. So that, you know, is well deserved. And so most people maybe have heard him, but if you haven't yet, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of new eyeballs, I think it's really going to be exciting to open a lot of eyes to his talent.
I think one other part of it too is, and just pulling the curtain back a little bit, and then we'll get into the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals and things going on around town, is I, growing up in the high school space as a high school dad, it's not all about the game on the field. It is and it isn't. There's going to be a balance on this broadcast where I say things like, there's going to be train wrecks and it's okay. We're going to try things. I ran into Eric Moses from the Fiesta Bowl and he was part of the XFL production team. He saw me. He's like, that's so great. You're going to try things. Like, well, we'll see. You know, there's some things that look good in the moment. If the robotics team is out there doing what they do, please focus on them. We're going to show the band at halftime for just 30 seconds, maybe more, because those kids deserve it.
Exactly.
We're going to put some highlights in of other games like Red Zone. I mean, it's just, and things may go off the rails. If there's a play-by-play kid sitting in the booth next door, they have full autonomy. Jody and Cody or whoever's doing the games that week, put them on. Did you see the game yesterday? The kid doing the A's, the kid caster doing the A's Mariners game. He's chosen by the Mariners. His first pitch, the guy hits it out of the park for the A's. And
really? I didn't see that.
It was just great. The kid's like,
That's awesome.
Kid's like, oh no. And then you're just this layout of pause. And So yeah, we're going to try things. It's not going to be the same old stuff. And there's going to be some stuff people like and some stuff people don't like. But at the end of the day, it's going to be Jody and Cody Cameron and Jordan Spurgeon hosting and Lexi down on the sidelines in game one over on CW7. And that will be this Thursday night. Jody Jackson with us, brought to you by Shamrock Farms and Rockin' Protein. All right. Are they dead? Or are they not dead? It's kind of like, is Kyler going to play well or not play well? We've talked about it forever. So the baseball team, like, once again, Jody, it's just like, my gosh, they could be leading this division by 10 games if they had half a bullpen.
You nailed it. And by the way, speaking of Shamrock Farms, Rockin' Protein, Zach Gallen's been balling. And I, you know, yesterday could have been easily six innings, zero runs, and there was a run given up that tied the game. Now, look, the chances of them winning that game 1-0 were slim to none.
Yes.
So, you know, it wasn't the end of the world that they gave up a run, but it was a ball to center field. It was a ball that appeared to, there's a few weird things that happened, you know, balls that were like knuckling, and Alec Thomas couldn't get to it, and then the play ensued that was, you know, kind of trying to race to the plate, and the run scored. So anyway, just wanted to say that about Zach, because that is good news. That is good to see Zach Gallen, you know, hopefully finishing strong. His last three starts have been really good. I think the last three of five have been really good. So yeah, I mean, you nailed it, because even though yesterday, you know, Sunday, the offense wasn't very good. But you know, when you watch games like Saturday night, so they had the walk-off, they pulled off the walk-off on Friday. They won on Saturday 10-1 to notch a fourth straight win and defeat Andrew Abbott, a lefty who had a 2.28 ERA. When you watch this team put up runs against a guy like that, I remember they went to break with like a montage of Perdomo and Blaze Alexander and Gurriel in the first inning Saturday. And you're thinking, like, this team can do anything. Like, sometimes you watch them and you're like, if they could just get in the playoffs, they would hang six runs on whoever, insert pretty good pitcher here. But the problem comes, and in that on that day, they were able to continue in downhill baseball, and they won the game, and they only gave up one run. But days like yesterday, when you have Juan Burgos, who hadn't given up a run as a D-back, so he had been pretty good. He had a bad day, and they took advantage, and the Reds hammered him a little bit, and, you know, gave up a three-run homer and blew the game open. So it was a bullpen blow-up. But it was also a day where you only got two hits. So I'm not going to hang it all on Juan. But you're right. If you had a bullpen that was more secure, more dependable, not a bunch of young guys that have just come up from the minors, except for, you know, Jalen Beeks, and there's a few journeymen. I mean, John Curtis has done a really nice job, and there's a guy that's been in the league a long time. But you know what I'm saying. It's when I say patchwork, I don't mean it in a negative way. I just mean they've had to go out and figure out how to put it together, which is not really normal to have to do. So, yeah. We're going to see what happens. It's very tough. Brewers are a really good team. They pitch really well, but of course the strength is offense. So I like to use the word bust, right? Are they going to bust some of these pitchers? I think they can. I think they can. And it's so fun to watch, you know, when you hear about how great all these pitchers are for the Brewers, can they bust them? I think they can, but can they manage to hold down the Brewers? That's the bigger question. So, and then they go to LA. So it's going to be a huge week. It stinks yesterday because they won and the Mets lost. So they could have been, just to visually see 4.5 back versus 5.5, I think would have been cool for the guy. I mean, let's face it. It's good for all of us. We see an actual moving day, that's helpful, but it didn't happen. So on to the next.
Yeah, you know, it would be nice. It feels like the days that they win, everybody wins. The days that they lose, everybody in front of them wins. And so it's been frustrating to see. Are they a better team today than they were before the trade deadline?
You know, I was asked that a couple weeks back, and it sounded like I said yes. And I felt a little bit like an idiot after saying that, because how can, you know, Eugenio and Naylor and Shelby Miller and Merrill, and I mean, talent-wise, clearly those guys make you a better team. But I think there's something about the way the team's playing right now, that they're not lying in wait for like the big homer, or so. I mean, do you know what I'm, so with that disclaimer, I think it's the only way, and it's the only way you can go, and it's the only way they can be right now. So I know, in a way, I think it is better. It's not a more talented team, but they're playing better because they know who they have to rely on now, and it's more of a anybody, anytime, to quote the old Tony Clark, what year was that? '07. I don't know, like the anybody, anytime. Remember that? Augie Ojeda. I mean,
is it a better team?
That's what we're looking at.
Jody, is it a better team off the field? Do you know what I mean by that? Is a clubhouse better? And this is not taking swipes at the guys that left, but we went through the Marte meltdown. There's one for you. We'll call it the Marte meltdown. Marte meltdown. And then, you know, he's come out of it. Gurriel has suddenly woke up into turning into the player. I don't know. Is it that there was a chemistry shift that needed to happen? And am I going too deep on
that? I think there's a lot of, I don't think they're all tied together, if that makes any sense. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, you know, with Marte, let me go back, and you and I both know, fans know, have watched Ketel Marte, and he's an emotional guy. And I think what happened to him over the All-Star break, with needing a break. And when you go to the game, you don't get the break. And I think was it a little bit, you know, clearly it was a poor decision on his part to tell the team he was going to come back and then didn't. Then I think it was important that he apologized. And I think that it is important that it came to light. So, and that's to me almost a separate issue, because I don't think anyone was, I know what comments were out there and I know what was written, but I don't think the whole entire team was pouting or sour or bitter about that. I really don't. I think there's a lot of players on this team that are really focused on winning and being the best that they can be. And it's this young group, and they are just like focused on what they're doing. But then Gurriel, you know, you look at him embracing the role in the four spot. I mean, that is a byproduct of not having the other players in there, the Naylor, the Suarez. And so there's that. I think there's a lot of separate things that have come together to make it. I do think, again, the Marte thing probably opened up some lines of communication throughout the whole group that maybe weren't there. Because let's be honest, that they were all talking about it, I'm sure, in some way, form, or shape, you know, in that clubhouse. And then you've got the other thing of those other guys leaving. I don't think it's hard to, you know, again, to take out those talented guys who were supposed to lead you to the playoff run. It's really hard to just be like, oh, well, no, it's a better team now because they're a little more cohesive and they're young and they're having fun. That's really hard to say. But I will say this, you had all that talent, and you have the same problem, though, because you didn't have the bullpen. They're winning at the same rate, if not more, which tells you that the bullpen is still something that is really hard to overcome. Even if you have Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Right. Whoever you have to have someone pitching on the back end. You have to have someone that can pitch 7-8-9 or 6-7-8-9, or you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not wanting to throw anybody under the bus. We've gone long here. Is there anything about the Cardinals, or do you just want to save it for next week? Because it was preseason game number 3. If you want to weigh in on them in any way, shape, or form, go for it. Time is tight.
I mean, roster cuts are always, you know, interesting, but I think really it'll be fringe guys that may or may not contribute. So I think, you know, we're all just excited to see them get it going against the New Orleans Saints and back to Arizona High School football against Tyler Shuck or Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, right. No, that'll be fun. There is Jody Jackson, brought to you by Rock and Protein, Shamrock Farms. We appreciate their support, and we're back with more after this timeout. John Wilner with us for a few minutes. It is opening week, Wilner Hotline, opening week for Arizona State and for the U of A and for NAU. Because John is so good at what he does, he has found someone that is willing to look at Arizona State and say, I don't know. It's a pretty compelling column that has been published today on the website. It's up right now. A lot of people are reacting to it. And I'll just read a couple lines. The headline is Arizona State season preview, Big 12 title defense depends on forces that cannot be quantified. It's a pretty intriguing headline. So I'll just give you the stage, Mr. Wilner. What cannot be quantified in this whole theme of this column?
I think we saw last year that the Big 12 is very unpredictable. And to me, ASU season depends. You know, they certainly have enough good players to win the Big 12 again. There's no doubt about that. But there's 8 or 10 or 12 teams that have enough good players to win the Big 12. It's all about what happens on the margins. You know, for ASU, it's handling expectations that they haven't had to deal with in an eternity, right? It's the pressure internally to win and to build on what they did last year. It's injuries. It's the bounce of the ball. It's the way opponents break on the schedule. There's so many things that go into it. And so I talked to Chris Peterson, right? Built the Boise State powerhouse, won the Pac-12, got to the playoff with Washington, three New Year's Six bowl appearances with the Huskies. And, you know, I talked to him a little while ago about what is it? Is it going to be harder for ASU? What's different? Even if you've got the same core guys, is it the same? And he said, no, it's totally different. That staying on top is much harder and takes much more energy than getting to the top. And I think that that's real relevant for ASU this year. And I think Dillingham has played everything exactly right. He has said all the right things. You couldn't have asked for him to do a better job from, what, January 1st to August 25th. And yet there's still so much that's out of his control because you're dealing with a bunch of 20-year-olds and a bunch of, you know, the bounce of the ball.
I think you're also dealing with a fan base that, and some people aren't going to like this too bad. It's just been my stance. It's a very immature, ficky fan base down here. Because I see the same boosters and I've seen the same donors through the years. And I hear people that, oh, this is going to be a great season for ASU, or it's terrible. I gave my season tickets back. Very wishy-washy down here. And so the idea of winning 8 games every year for some, well, it's just not enough. Unless one of those is over U of A, we could go 1-12. And as long as the one wins over U of A, it's a successful season. No, it's not. And so I'm interested down here, the expectations that are alluded to in this column. It's a great column to go check out over on the site that John put together talking with Chris Peterson. But, you know, John, is 8 wins a disappointing season for Arizona State from your view coming into this year?
No, not from my view. Absolutely not. I do think a certain segment of the fan base will be disappointed. My hope is that the vast majority of ASU fans realize that it's a delicate balance between 10-2 and 8-4. And, you know, I think ASU could be just about as good a team this year as they were last year and end up a couple spots lower in the standings just because you don't know what's going to happen. The other teams are trying to win the thing too, right? And we'll see how the fan base reacts. But I kind of understand where they're coming from because I did a little bit of research, right? It's been since the Frank Cush era that they have had two, you know, elite seasons in a row. It was like 73-74, 74-75, right? Top 10 finishes both year. So the fan base is, to a certain extent, conditioned to these cycling ups of success and then a downturn, right? Dennis Erickson, Todd Graham, Bruce Snyder, they all experienced it. So I get it. And is it going to be different under Dillingham? I don't know. You know, putting a program together obviously is a lot different now than it used to be. But, you know, unless you've got a roster loaded with 4- and 5-star talent, which ASU does not have, it's hard to be good year after year. And that's true for ASU. It's true for lots of programs.
Yeah, 3 years ago, I went to the kickoff luncheon. I've gone to the kickoff luncheon down here, and you know those kickoff luncheons. It's rah-rah, everything's
good.
Even though when you're sitting there, you know, this team's going to get their heads kicked in this year. This is not going to be a good year.
Yep.
And there's, you know, a smattering of people. The other day it was packed to the gills. There was a segment in the show where they brought up 5 players up on stage, 6 players. And Sam Levitt wasn't up there. Jordan Tyson wasn't up there. I think they wanted to have some other players establish themselves as leaders. And they were asked, you know, who are you looking most forward to playing? And I'll tell you, John, without even taking a breath, they all said Texas Tech. There's a feel down here that Texas Tech went out and just spent money like crazy. And they're the ones that is letting everybody know we've got it going on.
Yep.
I thought it would be like Iowa State at Iowa State or Colorado. No, it's Texas Tech.
Or Arizona.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Arizona, but I think the belief is that Arizona's not going to be very good.
Yep.
Arizona's belief is if ASU can do it, although they'll never say Arizona State, but if the team in our division last year was picked to finish last, we can do it too. But Texas Tech, does that surprise you, John, to hear that?
No, not really. Texas Tech has gotten all the publicity in the Big 12 this offseason because of how they constructed their roster. You know, $30 million roster, basically, funded by this oil billionaire, Cody Campbell, who used to play for them. It's a lot like Oregon in the old Pac-12, where Phil Knight was funding a program that had things the others didn't and could do things with resources the others couldn't and became the top dog. Now, Texas Tech's got to win on the field, right? There's a lot of pressure on Joey McGuire, their coach, and their roster. But they, at, you know, at media, Big 12 Media Day and throughout the offseason, they've gotten a ton of attention. And so I think everybody is looking forward to playing them. And in some ways, that'll be good for ASU to have another team with a target, right? Certainly, ASU is going to get everybody's best shot as a defending champ. But having Texas Tech out there as well, I think helps deflect a little bit of the attention off ASU. That's probably going to be helpful.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline is all you can check out his content online with us. Nationally syndicated columnist. He's a part of what we do every week here on Sports 360 AZ. Do you anticipate U of A, Hawaii, ASU, NAU to be any sort of knockdown, drag-out battle?
No, I don't. I could see Arizona struggling with Hawaii for two quarters, three quarters. You know, the fact Hawaii got a game, got to play, really helps. I mean, that you can't really put a you can't measure how much that helps a team. And Arizona, obviously, there's a lot of questions, and those players are going to know they're entering the season with a lot of questions. I think it'll take them a little while, but if the game is close with 5 minutes left, then I'd be a little bit surprised by that. I don't think ASU will have much trouble with NAU either. That shouldn't even be close at halftime.
The Ohio State-Texas game is the one that is much anticipated this Saturday. Where are you at on that game?
Hook 'em horns. I think Texas is going to handle them. To me, Texas is going to be – they're going to look like they're with as many guys as they got back. I think Texas is going to look like they're in late September form, and Ohio State is going to look like they are in early September form. And part of that – it's not just the quarterback situation, right? Ohio State's playing Julian Sayin, really inexperienced. Ohio State's got two new coordinators. That's a huge deal. And I'm not sure that they are upgrades either, especially on offense, losing Chip Kelly, you know, Jim Knowles, terrific defensive coordinator. He left for Penn State. There's a lot of new pieces with the Buckeyes. That's not the case with the Longhorns. I actually think Texas is going to go in there and win that game handily.
Arch Madness do anything for you? Intriguing or just like, okay, guys, our industry needs to stop?
Well, both. If I could take a middle ground, I would. I think the industry does need to stop, although it's understandable with what, three generations of Mannings, right? But he's really good. And he's much more mobile than Quinn Ewers was, which I think will help Texas's offense with a little added dimension. Is he going to be as good as the hype, number one pick, all that? I don't think so. I think he needs a couple of years, but he's good. He's very skilled, and he won't be, you know, the attention is, I don't think, is going to bother him. He played in the Georgia game last year. And he just grew up in this thing, right? I mean, that counts for a lot.
Let's check off that. I appreciate your time and insights as always, John. Have a great first week. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
There's John Wilner. And again, you can check out his column on Arizona State today that popped up on the website. We appreciate the nationally syndicated columnist John Wilner is part of us week in and week out. We're back with more after this time out.